This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Jennifer Gould. Luigi Mangione, the suspect accused of murdering UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, appeared for his first federal court hearing in New York after waiving his right to an extradition hearing. The 26-year-old was flown from Pennsylvania to face charges related to the December 4th shooting of Thompson outside a Midtown Manhattan hotel. Mangione is facing multiple state and federal charges, including first-degree murder, terrorism, weapons offenses, criminal possession of a weapon, and a forged instrument. Federal charges include murder through the use of a firearm, interstate stalking, and possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. A terrorism charge accuses Mangione of committing a premeditated act intended to instill fear. Here's Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg at the press conference. Take a listen.
This was a frightening, well-planned, targeted murder that was intended to cause shock and attention and intimidation. It occurred in one of the most bustling parts of our city, threatening the safety of local residents and tourists alike, commuters and business people just starting out on their day.
New details have emerged from the unsealed federal complaint regarding that notebook found in Mangione's possession. The ledger allegedly contained handwritten pages expressing hostility towards the insurance industry and wealthy executives. An August 15th entry notes, quote, "The target is insurance," end quote, because it, quote, "checks every box," end quote. Mangione's notebook also referenced an investor conference Thompson was set to attend the day he was gunned down. The federal complaint also reveals a letter Mangione allegedly wrote titled, quote, "to the feds," end quote, claiming sole responsibility for the murder. Mangione, a graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, was arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after being recognized from surveillance footage released by the NYPD. Federal prosecutors assert jurisdiction over the case due to Mangione's travel in interstate commerce from Atlanta to New York before the shooting, as well as his use of cell phones and the internet to plan the attack. As Mangione faces charges in both New York and Pennsylvania, his attorney has raised concerns about potential double jeopardy given the overlap between state and federal charges. The district attorney in Blair County, Pennsylvania, has said he was willing to put the Pennsylvania charges on hold while New York authorities prosecute Mangione. If convicted of the federal charges, Mangione could face the death penalty. He faces life in prison on the state charges. Mangione is being held in the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, the only federal prison in New York City.
I'm Drew Nelson. A mass shooting at a makeshift nightclub in Northeast Houston leaves two teenagers dead and four others injured. Police are searching for the gunman responsible for the chaos. The shooting happened at an unregulated pop-up party near the East X Freeway. Assistant Police Chief Luis Menendez Sierra said officers arrived at a, quote, "very hectic scene" as a large crowd of juveniles fled the building. A 16-year-old boy was found dead at the scene. A 14-year-old girl, Azaria Bankhead, was pronounced dead at the hospital. Azaria's brother, Clashawn Bankhead, was with her at the party.
And she was like, "All right, I'm going to go with my friends." And then after that, I was standing next to her, and all I heard was shots. And then I ducked down, and I went in the restroom. When I came out, I was carrying my sister out, and she was lifeless.
Four other victims, all teenage girls, were injured. A 13-year-old remains in critical condition. The event, hosted at a location called the Curfew Club, was advertised on social media as, quote, "the hottest teen club in Houston." But police emphasized the venue operated without proper oversight or safety measures.
What causes the problems with these type of events? With no regulations, there's nothing guarding it, you know, to make sure that it's a legit establishment.
Witnesses described the shooter as a tall, thin black man wearing a black hooded sweatshirt and a mask. The suspect fled the scene before police arrived. Chief Menendez Sierra said, quote, "We need witnesses to come forward. We will use all resources to bring this person to justice." Investigators are asking anyone with information to contact Crime Stoppers at 800-222-TIPS. The building where the party happened was once a church, but has since hosted multiple events similar to this one. A former church member told KTRK the property had been used for ministry
factory work before rising rent forced the congregation out. Quote, it's heartbreaking to see this happen here. Houston Mayor John Whitmire condemns the lack of oversight at such gatherings. Quote, this tragedy was preventable. We lost young lives tonight because of an unregulated event. Authorities are urging teens to avoid these makeshift clubs for their safety. Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez warned, quote, these pop-up parties can quickly lead to chaos and violence. Teens need to stay away.
I'm Nicole Parton. Prosecutors in Texas are pursuing the death penalty for a horrific murder and sexual assault of 12-year-old Jocelyn Ngari. On Friday, Kim Ogg, the district attorney of Harris County, revealed her intention to seek capital punishment for 22-year-old Johan Jose Martinez Rangel and 26-year-old Franklin Panay, both of whom were originally from Venezuela. Jocelyn's murder stands out as one of the most heinous, brutal, and senseless cases I have encountered in my career, as district attorney Ogg said. Alexis Ngari, Jocelyn's mother, spoke to KHOU 11.
After doing some thinking, I do fully support Kim Ogg in the DA's office to push the death penalty because, you know, it's an eye for an eye. They took my daughter's life. She's no longer here anymore. And I hate that they're living, breathing, and thriving every single day, and they still get to be here every single day while she does not.
The district attorney pointed out the situation is further aggravated by the fact that these two men were in the country illegally. Had they been detained after their capture at the border, they would never have had a chance to take Jocelyn's life and devastate her family's future, she said. According to previous reports from Crime Online, Ngari is believed to have left her apartment on the night of June 16. She was reportedly on a call with her 13-year-old boyfriend when she was heard conversing with two men. Surveillance footage from a 7-Eleven convenience store captured the two men approaching her. Investigators utilized additional videos to trace the men's movements earlier that evening. They met Ngari near Kukendall Road and accompanied her to the store. After leaving the store, they led her to a bridge on West Rankin Road, where they strangled her and abandoned her body in a nearby creek. The Houston Forensic Science Center later confirmed by July 1 that Ngari had been sexually assaulted. This aspect of the crime enables Ogg to pursue the death penalty under Texas law. The two men entered the U.S. unlawfully and, according to immigration authorities, were released into the country by U.S. Border Patrol just a month prior to this tragic event. Both defendants have been assigned a bond of $10 million each and are currently being held at Harris County Jail. This as reported by KHOU 11. For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcasting app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Nicole Parton.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.